Hey everybody, what you are about to listen to is an episode of Am I Dying? Here at Offscript, we've taken the Am I Dying show, put a twist on it, and created the new Is It Serious podcast with Dr. Mark Lewis and Dr. Jean-Luc Neptune. Think of it this way. The Am I Dying docs discuss lots of symptoms, while the Is It Serious docs answer lots of questions. And all of the episodes are here on this feed for your listening pleasure. For new episodes, don't forget to subscribe, and thanks for listening.
Welcome back to the Am I Dying podcast. This is Dr. Chris Kelly.
And I'm Dr. Mark Eisenberg. Thanks for
joining
us.
We did the one goddamn thing he told us not to do. Mark, that was a test. From Offscript Media, this is Am I Dying? A conversational podcast about your symptoms and what to do next. I'm Dr. Chris Kelly.
And I'm Dr. Mark Eisenberg.
We're doctors who just happen to be close friends, and we're ready to answer the vital question. Should you chill out or freak out? Today we are going to be talking about a topic that is very near and dear to our hearts as cardiologists, but it's something that pretty much every human being on the planet should be thinking about from time to time, and that's cholesterol.
Cholesterol.
Yes, we're going to talk about what is a good cholesterol, how do you know when your levels are optimized, when should you consider taking medications to improve your cholesterol, what are the benefits of doing that, and more importantly, how often should your cholesterol be checked? So this is something that I think a lot of people don't really understand that well, but it's important to everybody because cholesterol levels, if too high, put you at significant unnecessary risk of heart attack and stroke. So let's just jump right in.
Plus other stuff too, you know, blockages in your legs, plus a whole slew of other problems. You know, when we were younger, it was always the thing your grandparents were talking about, cholesterol.
Yeah.
You know, but now actually a lot of, you know, teenagers are being diagnosed with high cholesterol, and actually a lot of teenagers are being treated for high cholesterol. So yes, we're both adult cardiologists, so it's definitely relevant for our patient populations.
I would say there's been two important trends probably to explain what you noted, that younger people are being treated for high cholesterol. On the one hand, I think that we have over the last 10 or 20 years gotten a much better idea just how strongly cholesterol contributes to the risk of heart and vascular disease.
But that's partially because we have better treatments now.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We could actually know how the treatments are working in people.
Yeah, we've gotten much more aggressive about treating it because, as you say, the treatments are so effective and generally very, very safe. But, you know, in addition to, the country is getting heavier and the rates of overweight and obesity are going up dramatically.
Why are you looking at me while you say that?
some of us have gotten a lot heavier over the past few years. And as a result, cholesterol, which is tied closely to weight, has also gone up. So something that I'm sure you do as well, but I deal with most patients every single day, and it's something that really shouldn't be overlooked. So let's just start with the super basic question, which is how often and starting at what age should cholesterol be checked? So my practice with this is to check it at least once, starting in your 20s, just to make sure that you don't have some genetic cholesterol syndrome that's sending your cholesterol off the charts. And also to start checking it if you've been diagnosed with diabetes or high blood pressure or any other heart disease. And then checking it every 3 to 5 years if it looks okay. Is that something like you do it?
Yeah, you know, I guess you have to take, you know, hopefully most people have gotten their cholesterol checked when they were still with their pediatrician. But definitely if someone's coming to someone for the first time in their 20s or 30s and hasn't had a cholesterol checked in years, they should definitely get a cholesterol check. You know, and then depending on, you know, other risk factors, including whether they have high blood pressure, whether they have diabetes, whether they're a current smoker, or if they have a family history of heart disease, we might have to be more aggressive and check it, you know, every year. Clearly, if you're being treated for high cholesterol, you should have your levels checked at least once a year to make sure the treatment's working.
Right.
But, you know, one thing we should talk about with people is what is cholesterol? So, so people understand cholesterol, you know, what is actually cholesterol? What's swimming around in your blood?
Yeah. So cholesterol is a combination of fats and proteins bundled up into little molecules that sort of ferry fat from one part of the body to another. So from your gut to your liver, from your liver to your gut, your liver to other organs. And there's a lot of different subtypes of cholesterol depending on the size of those particles and what they're doing. And
Yeah,
so
and we're going to tell you which are the important ones to look after. Some doctors check for like 15 different types of cholesterol, and it's all garbage and a waste of money.
yeah, I have always felt that as well. And there's really no evidence that you need to check a gazillion different types of cholesterol particles, but there's a few that are included in every cholesterol test that you can get and which are really important to know about. So the first one is called the LDL, the lousy bad cholesterol. So LDL is the one that you need to look out for. It's the one that increases your risk of heart attack or stroke. And the higher that number is, the worse. So LDL is something we think about a lot. The next up is HDL. I don't know, is that happy,
No. So basically,
healthy?
it's low density and high density. But the way for all of us to remember it is LDL is the bad cholesterol, L for lousy, and HDL is the good cholesterol, H for healthy. Which actually brings up another thing. When people say my total cholesterol is high, that's if your good cholesterol is high, your total cholesterol is going to look high, and you might be better off. So the LDL is the bad cholesterol, the HDL is the healthy or good cholesterol. And the higher the HDL, the better.
Yeah, so you have your LDL and your HDL. You have your triglycerides,
Yeah.
which are derived pretty much directly from food. And if you don't fast before your cholesterol test, those are going to be really high.
Well, that's a good question. Do people really need to fast? When we say fast, not for 6 days, but basically from midnight the night before till 8 or 9 in the morning when you get your blood test.
Yeah, so I generally tell people that they don't need to fast just because it's so much easier to check non-fasting labs. But if the triglycerides are really high, then I make them go back and do it again fasting, because we need to find out if those were high because they had just eaten, or because their body isn't processing triglycerides correctly. And if the triglycerides are high, it can mess up the rest of the cholesterol panel too.
Yeah, it could
So,
actually make your HDL or good cholesterol look too low. It can make it look much lower than it really is. So when you get actual, go to the doctor and get your cholesterol readout. They're going to give you a total cholesterol, which actually equals the LDL cholesterol plus the HDL cholesterol plus the triglyceride level over 5.
yeah.
So you're going to actually get a breakdown of all three. And depending on if one of the three of them is abnormal, your treatment could be different.
So there's been a lot of evolution on when we treat cholesterol levels. And a lot of it, Mark, as you know, has to do with your age and your other risk factors for heart disease, like diabetes and blood pressure. So there's a couple main scenarios where we are just not going to be pleased with your cholesterol levels and recommend that we do something about them. So number one, straight off the bat, if your LDL bad cholesterol is greater than 190, that should be treated. And every now and then, I'll test some person in their 20s just for screening, healthcare maintenance, and they'll have an LDL of 280, which is extremely high. And that person, in almost all cases, has a genetic predisposition to high
Definitely.
cholesterol.
That or they've been to McDonald's every day that week.
And when you ask them, both of their parents have high cholesterol, and there's just no question that that person needs their cholesterol lowered. But sometimes people have a pretty high LDL just because they're diabetic, overweight, have a poor diet, and have other reasons to have a high cholesterol. But if your LDL is greater than 190, pretty much in all cases, right off the bat, that needs to be treated regardless of anything else. So then we go into some other factors. So if you have a history of heart disease or stroke, like you've had a heart attack in the past or you've had a stroke in the past, there too, we treat the LDL regardless of what it is. In pretty much all cases, you're going to end up on a medicine to lower your cholesterol. So that's number two. Number three, if you have diabetes and you're over the age of 40, pretty much in all of those cases too, you're going to be on medicine to lower your cholesterol.
I know. I see a few diabetic patients every month who've been followed by endocrinologists, and they're actually in their 40s or 50s, and they're not on a statin, which is the cholesterol medication we usually prescribe people. And they say that's because my cholesterol is normal, and it doesn't matter if it's normal because people with diabetes, type 1 and type 2, are at higher risk for what we call endothelial dysfunction, heart attacks and strokes. So we are very aggressive with these patients, and they should be on even a low dose of a cholesterol medication, which, what besides lowering your cholesterol, it also stabilizes all the plaques in your body.
And you've got, yeah, exactly as you say, all the risk from the diabetes. So since the lower the cholesterol is better, you should make it as low as you safely can, to eliminate that risk.
It's actually malpractice if your doctor doesn't put you on a statin and you're over 40 with diabetes. So,
well, there are a couple exceptions, which we can talk about later, but in most cases, you should be on one.
Or have a good lawyer.
So that's that. So stick with us. After the break, we're going to talk about one other sort of really, really broad category, probably the biggest category of people who need to take cholesterol medicine, the one that most of the people listening are going to find themselves in. We'll let you know if you're in that category. And then we're going to talk about how we actually treat cholesterol and what the various options are and what the risks are and what the
plus I also want to know, can we eat eggs and can we have red meat?
Exactly. All right, so stick with us. We'll be right back. Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. Welcome back. We are talking about everything you need to know about cholesterol. So far, we've talked about what cholesterol is, the different parts of a cholesterol panel, which includes LDL for lousy, bad cholesterol, HDL for healthy, good cholesterol, triglycerides, and total cholesterol. And we've talked about a couple groups that should have their cholesterol lowered. So anyone with a LDL over 190, anyone who has had a heart attack or a stroke in the past, anyone who has diabetes and is over the age of 40 should be on a cholesterol medicine. And then there's this one really big category that opened up a few years ago. You know, there was a rewriting of the cholesterol guidelines and this concept was added. And it was a little controversial for a while and remains so to this date, but I think that most doctors are embracing this now. Mark, do you want to tell people what it is?
Are you talking about the cardiovascular risk calculator?
Of course.
Yes, actually, the cardiovascular risk calculator is a great tool. You can actually do it at home on your own computer and figure out what your 10-year risk of having a heart attack or a stroke is. If you want a quick way to find this calculator, it's on our website, which is amidying.com. We have an article on cholesterol, should you be treated? Or you could just go to the ACC, American College of Cardiology website, and you know, link on to their cardiovascular risk calculator. Again, what you're going to do is they're going to ask you a bunch of questions, your blood pressure. So actually try to have your blood pressure taken either by somebody you know with a blood pressure machine, or just remember what it was last time you were at your doctor, because you're going to plug in your cholesterol numbers, the triglycerides, the HDL, the LDL, your age, your race, your sex, not if you're having sex, but if you're a male or a female, and your blood pressure. And it will actually give you a number of what your risk of having a heart attack or a stroke is in the next 10 years.
So what is the magic number, Mark? When do we worry about?
They say the magic number is 7.5 to 10%. Definitely, if your number is 7.5% or above, you should strongly consider going on a medication called a statin. That being said, that's if you've already tried risk factor modification, which is exercise, weight loss, and diet. You know, some people even argue at 5%, you might actually consider going on a medication.
So we'll talk about treatment of cholesterol in a second, but the thing that was so groundbreaking about this recommendation is, number one, this is a very large group of people, right? So the number of people out there with a 10-year risk of heart attack or stroke of 7.5% or higher is pretty large. And it kind of shifted us from thinking about just treating the number of the LDL to treating the person with that number. And so an LDL or cholesterol panel that looks decent in an otherwise healthy 45-year-old can be actually really problematic in a 65-year-old with high blood pressure.
Definitely.
And so I think a lot of people don't understand that, you know, their cholesterol panel can remain exactly the same over a 10, 15 year period. But by the end of that period, because everything else about them has changed, the cholesterol is no longer in the acceptable range and needs to be treated.
Actually, if you plug in the numbers, I think we did it once for fun. My dad and I talk about what we do at the dinner table. Huh?
Sounds like a really fun family activity.
Literally, if you're a 60-year-old male with almost perfect cholesterol, it actually shows your numbers are higher than you think.
Yeah. So age is a huge predictor of risk. And I think the calculator is valid up to the age of 70 or so. So everyone should just check out, you can either go to our website, amidying.com, or you can go to the ACC website, or just Google ASCVD risk calculator, atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease risk calculator, and plug in your numbers and find out where you're at. If it's above 7.5%, then you should strongly consider lowering your cholesterol. Mark, you mentioned earlier people who are in that kind of intermediate range. So they put in their numbers and it's 5 to 7%-ish.
First of all, a lot of other factors are also, that's why it actually, everyone should be individualized and speak to their physician. Because if you have a family history of a heart attack or a stroke, you need to be a little more aggressive. Actually, the rule of thumb I go by is 10 years before someone in your family had an event, they should be extremely aggressive with you. For instance, if your dad had his first heart attack at age 52, by age 42, you should actually be in as optimal shape as you can cholesterol-wise. And if not, consider going on a low dose of a statin.
So let's say you have no personal history of heart disease, you don't have diabetes, but you do have that family history and you're getting up towards that age where your family member had an event. Let's say you plug in your numbers on that risk calculator and your risk is like 4 or 5%. What would you do in that situation?
Well, I think some people just feel a little better knowing that they're on a medication that will still decrease their risk of heart attacks and strokes by 30%, irregardless of the cholesterol lowering effect. But if someone doesn't want to take a medication, these are the actual people I might do some other screening tests. There's a calcium score. And again, I don't order it on that many patients, but in this one group of patients, it could be very useful, which basically the calcium score is a quick CAT scan of your chest that sees if there's any calcium, which implies plaque. And if you have any calcium in your arteries, then clearly you should go on a low dose of a statin.
So that calcium score can actually be entered into that risk calculator, and it moves your risk upward or downward. So if your cholesterol is kind of borderline, but you have zero plaque in your arteries, then even with the borderline cholesterol, the genetics are on your side, and maybe you don't need to treat it. But if you're borderline and you've got tons of plaque, then you definitely want to control what you can control for reducing your risk and get on something to lower your cholesterol.
Before we get to the most common reason why treating cholesterol, again, there's three main numbers: the triglycerides, the LDL, L for lousy, and the HDL. In a subset of group, the HDL and LDL are okay, or at least the LDL is okay, but the triglycerides are high. So that's a particular group of people that just actually have isolated high triglycerides. And those are the ones that we really want to see what their triglycerides are when they're fasting, to see because just having isolated high triglycerides can actually be very serious also, not only with heart disease, but also can cause pancreatitis.
So let's talk about how we actually treat all these problems now. Now that we've outlined all the problems, all the ways in which the LDL can be lousy, and as you say, a situation where the triglycerides can be a problem. So the number one medication that we use by far is a statin. And most people have heard of statins. Lipitor is probably the most popular statin out there. Crestor, Zocor, those ads where that guy is like rowing the boat down the stream. I think that was a Lipitor ad.
Wasn't that you?
I wish I was getting paid millions of dollars to row a boat for 10 seconds on TV. But sadly, no. So those are statins. And statins are among the most popular drugs out there today. They're widely used. Tens of millions of people around the country are on statins. But they get a bad rap for a lot of reasons. We'll talk about the potential problems with those in a second. But first, let's talk about the good. So statins are very, very powerful. Mark, what do you typically like to see when you start somebody on statin? How much should their cholesterol go down by?
I'm surprised sometimes how even a low dose can have such a big effect on people. And I find, especially if someone's in their 40s or 30s or 50s and they exercise a lot, sometimes I put them on half the lowest dose and their LDL will drop like 50% within 3 months.
Yeah, you can see a really dramatic effect. And I think that's pretty much what we'd like to see, at least a 50 to 60% drop in your bad cholesterol when you're on a statin. And it sometimes doesn't take much. You frequently, just as you say, with a low dose, you can get down into the target range. And it's a once-a-day medicine, and it's very safe and well-tolerated. But there are side effects that can occur periodically, and these are the things that people focus on.
Yeah, but the internet is all filled with, these are like pharmaceutical, ways to control people's bloods and blah blah blah, and there's so many risk factors to the statins, and it's really not true. If you actually look at all the studies, 1% of people actually have side effects to the statins.
Most commonly, muscle aches.
Muscle ache. But it's not like, I mean, look, anyone who's getting up there in age, you wake up with some pain in your shoulder or pain in your knee after you went jogging. When we say muscle aches, also called myositis, it's usually so severe, like you can't get up from a chair, like really pretty bad muscle aches. So just having like your toe hurt one day on the statin is not because of the statin.
So 99% of people don't get those. Around 1% or less do. And if you experience something like that, it's usually easily addressed. Frequently, you can just switch to a different statin, or lower the dose. Very rarely is it the case that you can't take any statin at all without having intolerable side effects and need to use
Plus,
different
it's
medicines.
reversible. So once you stop it, the muscle pain will go away. So nothing will be, permanent.
There is a non-zero chance of having a severe muscle reaction, like a true breakdown of muscle fibers, which can be serious and life-threatening, but it is extremely, extremely, extremely rare. And the potential upside benefit to the statins is so great that accepting, the risk of this very, very rare complication is well worth the trade-off for most people. Just as, getting a flu shot carries an infinitesimally small risk of complications, but the benefits are very great, and so that's why we recommend them pretty much to everybody.
And then everyone talks about liver abnormalities. Yes, in a few percentage of people, your liver test might look abnormal. Actually, when you start a statin, it's customary to test the blood to see how you're doing on the one hand, and also see how your liver is doing 3 months after starting the statin. And if the liver is normal or hasn't changed much, then you're fine. You don't need to get it checked every 3 months. In fact, once you're on a statin, you could probably just get your blood checked once a year just to see, if the medication is effective. That being said, the statin, again, is a great medication. It has been shown to reduce heart attacks and strokes by 30% through an anti-inflammatory effect. It lowers your LDL. The HDL being low in people is not really going to be affected by the statin. If your HDL is low, there's other things you're going to have to try to do. Exercise more and actually even drink a little alcohol. Alcohol has been shown to raise your HDL. In fact, Chris, your HDL is like in the 90s, isn't it? Wait, before we say anything, we should probably say what the normal HDL is. So in men, you want the HDL above 40, and in women, you want the HDL above 50. And again, the higher the HDL, the better off you are.
I have one glass of wine with dinner, maybe 3 times a week, and I think my HDL is exceptional. Not the 90s, but I think it's around 60s, 70s or so. So pretty good.
You didn't tell us how much you drink with lunch and breakfast, though.
One other thing to point out, if you can't take a statin for whatever reason, you just truly can't tolerate any of them, or if your statin doesn't get you to the target cholesterol level, despite taking a high dose, there's other options out there. So there's other medications that you can take by mouth that can help. One of them is called Zetia, and cardiologists will frequently add that on. There's a new one too out there called bempedoic acid that I haven't used. It was just approved in the last few months for lowering cholesterol, but that may show a lot of promise too. And then there's also injectables. So if your cholesterol is really off the charts, the statin's not making a dent, there are injectable medications once every 2 weeks that can really, really lower your cholesterol quite extensively. And they're very safe, other than the fact that you have to inject them. But because you have to inject them and they're also expensive, we don't use those unless statins have failed.
And before we finish, we should talk about eggs and red meat. What are your thoughts on
Yeah,
those
so.
as you're eating a hamburger in front of me?
So, yeah, so whether you're taking cholesterol medications or not, you should always try to practice a heart healthy diet and reduce your risk of having a high cholesterol just from lifestyle problems. And so, yeah, so, I think the relationship between cholesterol intake and cholesterol levels isn't as strong as most people
No.
think. Eating eggs, I don't think, has been convincingly shown to raise your
No,
cholesterol
most
level.
people, they're fine.
I think people sort of still generally recommend trying to limit your red meat intake because if you have too much red meat, there's some thought that can increase your risk of heart disease. But even there, I think the relationship with cholesterol is not that strong. So, what are the lifestyle changes that you can do? Again, even if you're on a cholesterol medicine or if you're kind of borderline and you might need a cholesterol medicine, The key things are just weight loss, exercising a couple times a week.
Well, more than a couple. The actual recommendation is 5 times a week for at least 30 to 50 minutes of fast walking or the equivalent.
And having a healthy diet. I mean, again, whether meat specifically raises the cholesterol or not is not clear. What is true, though, is that people who are purely plant-based vegan diet frequently will see a significant drop in their cholesterol. But that's not just avoiding red meat. That's avoiding all meat of any kind and all animal products. But
And saturated fats, yeah.
unfortunately, for a lot of people, that is a very difficult change to make. And so in many cases, we end up using medications just because that kind of lifestyle change isn't feasible. But you can try it if you want.
Well, that was everything you need to know about cholesterol, but was afraid to ask.
And way, way more. So takeaway, pay attention to your cholesterol, get it checked, realize that it's not just the number that we're treating, but the risk also, and that as you get older, your need for a cholesterol treatment is going to go up quite a bit, and the treatments are usually very, very safe and very effective, and you shouldn't avoid them just because of something you read on the internet. So hope that was helpful, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Hey everyone, at the Am I Dying podcast, we absolutely love answering listener questions. So if you've got one, please contact us and we will answer it during our show. You can call 855 audio 66, that's 855 audio 66, and press option number 4 for Am I Dying. If you're one of those weird people who doesn't have letters on your numbers, call 855 283 4666. Thanks.
If you like the show, be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social, and tell all your friends to listen. Am I Dying is a production of Offscript Media. Our executive producer is Matthew Zachary. Andrew McDowell is our senior producer. Am I Dying is recorded, mixed, and edited by Ariel Nachman. For advertising and media inquiries, email media@offscript.com. Hit us up at contact@offscript.com to share comments and feedback. For more information, visit offscript.com.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.